How can you get quality healthcare when you don't understand what the doctor is telling you? That's the question at the center of federal regulations that require some healthcare organizations to provide patients who don't speak English with free translation services. But now Kaiser Health News reports the Trump administration wants to ease those regulations. The move would also get rid of the requirement that directions be given to patients on how they can report on discrimination they may experience in the healthcare system. So we wanted to understand how translation and healthcare works. And for that, I sat down with Aliria Munoz-Rascón with the Edson College of Nursing and Health Innovation at ASU.
I have worked as a nurse in a hospital setting, and my role often was taking care of Spanish-speaking patients. So a lot of times in the hospital, we would get patients with a lot of different language barriers. And when I worked as charge nurse, for instance, in an oncology unit, I would go through the list of patients and we would actually mark, okay, this patient is Spanish-speaking only. This patient is Arabic-speaking only. And I would match up nurses that I'm like, oh, we have a nurse today that speaks Arabic. Looks like she's taking care of that patient today. And I would get a lot of the Spanish-speaking patients.
So it sounds like when you're working in a hospital setting, you're sort of just filling where you can. Mm-hmm. But there are systems in place to interpret for patients if that doesn't exist, if there doesn't happen to be an Arabic-speaking or a Spanish-speaking nurse on staff that day, right? What are those?
Sure. So in hospital systems throughout Arizona, obviously it's required to have interpreter services for limited English proficiency patients. So most large hospital systems here will have an interpreter in-house, typically of a common non-English language, which is Spanish here in Arizona. Even some of the larger hospitals will have two, maybe three interpreters in-house available at those really busy peak hours. However, that doesn't always meet everybody's needs simultaneously. If you only have one person with a pager or a phone that's available, then you need other resources. So a lot of hospitals will have remote interpreting services, so sometimes video remote interpreting services. What's really popular are dual handset remote interpreting services, which were these blue phones. We'd always call them the blue phones, and they would have two handsets. And so the nurse, for instance, if she had a Cantonese-speaking patient, would bring the phone into the room, pick up one side of the handset and say, okay, I'm looking for a Cantonese interpreter. And through that service, they would find a Cantonese interpreter remotely. The patient would pick up the other side, and you have this three-way conversation where the patient is expressing their needs and their concerns to the nurse, and the nurse is able to communicate back.
Yeah, give us a sense of how much of a difference it can make to be able to be there and translate for somebody. Obviously, like, you need to know what's going on when you're at a hospital with your own health, but have you seen situations, have you been in situations where it really, you think, could have turned out differently if you hadn't been there to do that translation?
Well, I mean, when I think about that, I think about what it's like to be a patient in a hospital, for instance. It's already really stressful. It's scary. It's confusing, even if you speak English. And so when I would get assigned patients who are Spanish speaking and I walked in their room and I introduced myself in Spanish, I would just see this like wash over of relief in their face that, oh my gosh, I can finally talk openly with this person, and we don't have to always wait for that blue phone, or we don't always have to wait for an interpreter. So I've felt like a lot of times not only is the communication more fluid, but patients feel a little bit more relaxed, and they might tell you more because they know you can just listen to them all the time versus, well, I'm not going to say anything. I don't have an interpreter available.
It's nuanced.
It is.
And that would, I'm sure, have impacts on their health outcomes, right?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times patients who are limited English proficiency, they may not be familiar with this healthcare system. They may not be familiar with the resources available. And sometimes they don't want to be a burden either because they already feel like they might be more challenging to take care of. This isn't always the case, but sometimes patients have said, oh, no, it's okay. But in certain cases, I've had patients who, because I speak Spanish and because I'm taking care of them, they'll say, I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know, my back has really been hurting. Or I wasn't going to say anything, but my right leg, it feels really, really hot right now. Mm. And those subtle things, especially as a nurse, our assessment skills are paramount. And so our ability to really communicate with a patient fluidly is critical in being able to identify some of those early signs of complications or even, you know, problems that could be happening.
So the Trump administration is attempting to ease, not get rid of, but ease regulations for some healthcare organizations to provide these patients with a written notice of free translation services. And this is particularly when it comes to how patients can report discrimination. So first, I want to ask you, how common is it that patients, especially non-English speaking patients, will experience discrimination in this realm?
So discrimination's happening. Patients are reporting that they experience discrimination in the healthcare setting. And right now, the recent research is saying that it's a little more insidious. It's a little more unconscious bias that we're seeing. So it may not be as easy to detect or to see from an untrained eye, but it's happening. And there are health disparities happening in the United States. For instance, certain minority ethnic groups are experiencing chronic diseases more than non-Hispanic whites. They're experiencing not just the disease itself, but the complications or dying from that disease more than non-Hispanic whites. Mm. And now the research is saying that these health disparities that are happening could very well be linked to discrimination itself. Mm. And so when a patient is experiencing discrimination, and they've shown that when a patient reports feeling discriminated against, there's a positive correlation between those experiences and depression, those experiences and anxiety. And not just that kind of logical connection of it must be stressful to feel discriminated against, but there's also a link between feeling discriminated against and reporting feeling discriminated against and hypertension and cancer and cardiovascular disease. So it's not just mental health, it's physical health as well.
And there's a link there, obviously.
Exactly.
So you talked a lot about, you know, what the importance of translation is, and I think a lot of that makes a lot of sense and is clear, but is it important, do you think, that it is required?
So I go back to nursing philosophy and nursing practice. So when I teach my students, we say, you are going to provide the highest quality care and the most evidence-based care that you can. And if we are keeping information from patients or even keeping information about information that's available to them, that's not providing the highest quality care. We're servants to our community. And I think that if we are truly going to be serving the community, we need to share with them the resources that are available. Because like I was saying, some of these patients who have limited English proficiency may already feel like a burden. They may already be hesitant to ask for more services. And so if we don't tell them those services are available, how can we ensure that they'll request them?
All right. Aliria Munoz-Rescon is a clinical assistant professor in the Edson College of Nursing and Health Innovation at ASU. Aliria, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.